إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أبو درداء رضي الله عنه he narrates in a particular story that once he was with an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and while he's with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه he approaches When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu approaches to an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he uncovers his knee. And perhaps he was indicating by this that he got into a fight. And he goes on and he mentions that between me and the son of Al-Khattab, we had an issue. We had a quarrel, we had a dispute, we got into an argument. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, after this, he goes on explaining the situation which took place between himself and Umar. And he says that a situation occurred between the two of us and I cursed Umar ibn Khattab. Now Umar, when this happened to him, he became upset and then he walked off and he stormed off. When he did this, then I felt bad. I felt that I said something wrong I should not have said. So I went and I sought an apology or I sought to apologize to Umar, hoping that he would forgive me. So he goes and he approaches and he goes towards Umar, trying to chase him down, hoping that Umar would accept his apology. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he slams the door in the face of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now when this happens, Abu Bakr, he felt bad. Number one, he felt bad about the fact that he cursed Umar to begin with in this argument between the two of them. And number two, he felt bad and he felt that Umar didn't accept my apology. What is going to be of my situation? So he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he hears this. He smiles and he turns to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he says, Sayaghfirullahu lak. Sayaghfirullahu lak. Sayaghfirullahu lak. He repeats this three times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will certainly forgive you. Now, when you look at the perspective of the story from that of Umar ibn Khattab, he also felt that, you know what, I should have accepted the apology that Abu Bakr offered. And I also did something from my end. Because rarely do we find a conflict in which only one person is right. There are two sides to every story. So he felt bad about the fact that he slammed the door in his face. He also felt bad about the fact that when Abu Bakr apologized, he refused to take that apology. So then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sees Umar, because Umar prior to this, in fact, he was looking around and going to the house of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq looking for where he is. And he was informed of the fact that he's not home. He's with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now when he goes to an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he finds that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is angry and he's upset. Now when Abu Bakr, he sees this, he starts to defend Umar. He says that I was also wrong. He starts to regret. And he says to say that I was the one that escalated more. I was the one that in the situation did worse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turns to Umar. And he says to Umar that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he supported me when nobody else did with his self and with his money. He supported me when everybody rejected me, including you. And then he makes a famous statement where he says, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُوا لِي صَحَابِي فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُوا لِي صَحَابِي He repeats this twice. Will you not leave my companion alone? This hadith is found in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. Now when you look at this hadith, There are a number of lessons that we can take. The first lesson that we derive from this narration is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ's love for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq surpassed that of everyone else. We understand that when the Nabi ﷺ was asked about those that he loves the most from among the men, he mentions number one Abu Bakr, number two he mentions Umar. But nonetheless, his love of Abu Bakr was so high that despite the fact that he says, لَوْ كَانَ النَّبِي كَانَ عُمَرْ, if there was to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. Nonetheless, his love of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq surpassed other people of a level that cannot be comprehended. But that is not the lesson that is the topic of today's khutbah. The topic of today's khutbah is the fact that as human beings, one of the tests that we have in this dunya is the issue of how we deal with others and how we deal with conflict. In today's khutbah, we'll discuss the issue of conflict resolution. We find that in this story, we have the best of people after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Nonetheless, they got themselves into an issue and situation. And it could be for you as a Muslim. You might have had an issue with a brother in the parking lot. It might have been that you as a Muslim, you had an issue with a brother in the masjid. It might have been that you as a Muslim had an issue with a co-worker. It might have been that you as a Muslim had an issue with your father or with your brother or with your children or with your best friend. This is one of those issues that as human beings we need to deal with in this dunya before the akhirah. We also find that oftentimes in situations a person might also have differences with their wives as well, and for the wives with their husbands. They might have a situation in which there's a conflict which takes place. And for this, remember another hadith wherein Sahl ibn Sa'ad was once asked in the time of Marwan, one of the later leaders of the Muslim Ummah, about the most beloved name given to Ali radiallahu anhu, the name Abu Turab, the father of dust. He was asked that how did he receive this name? And he mentions the fact that once the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the house of Ali radiallahu anh and Fatima radiallahu anha. Again, here we see who? Fatima radiallahu anha, one of the four women who was given the glad tidings of Jannah. Ali radiallahu anh, one of al-ashar al-mubashsharun bil-Jannah. These people were given Jannah. Nonetheless, when the Prophet ﷺ, he says that where is the son of your uncle? Where is the son of your uncle? Where is your cousin? Fatima radiallahu anha, she says, فَكَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ شَيْءٍ فَغَاضَبَنِي فَخَرَجٍ, that there was an issue between me and him. He got angry and he left. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is then informed and he asks around and he sees that Ali radiallahu anhu is informed of the fact that he is in the masjid, in Masjid al-Nabawi. And he goes there and he sees Ali radiallahu anhu on the ground sleeping with his shirt uncovered. And then he sees that he is covered with dust. And he tells and he dusts him off as a sort of consolation for him. And he says, قُمْ يَا أَبَا تُرَابْ, stand up, O father of dust. We might also find a situation in which it's not simply a human being and another human being, but rather it might be groups of Muslims, one contingent of Muslims against another contingent of Muslims. It could also be that a certain group of Muslims, that they have a certain interpretation of Islam, and another group of Muslims, they have a slightly different interpretation of Islam within the acceptable limits. And yet these groups of Muslims might find themselves into conflict, as we see when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, then shortly there after, when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is murdered, and Ma'rikatu bil Jamal, the battle of the camel takes place, what do we find in this situation? We find Ali radiallahu anhu, one of al-ashar mubashsharun bil Jannah, and we find Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and we find Zubair ibn Awam on the other side, and they're fighting each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, when he says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. When groups of Muslims fight each other, it's incumbent upon them to make islah. In the context of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this three times. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Make islah and reconcile between yourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in one narration as well, that among those things that this ummah will not be safeguarded from is conflict from among ourselves. Now what is the reason for this? And why is this so important? The reason why this is so important is because of the fact that our entry into Jannah is contingent upon the fact that we resolve issues with people that we had in this dunya before we are allowed entry into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's paradise. What is the proof of this? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, in the last phase before a person gets to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a second bridge there. We all know of a sirat, but there's a second bridge as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? He says, إِذَا خَلَصَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ فَحُبِسُوا بِقَنْطَرَةٍ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ فَيَتَقَاسُونَ مَظَالِمَ كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى إِذَا نُقُّوا وَهُذِّبُوا أُذِنَ لَهُمْ بِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in this narration that when the issue of hellfire has been concluded, then a person would be imprisoned at a second place called Al-Qantara. Now imagine this situation. We all know that life is difficult. We all might have conflicts with others. We all have to deal with this situation. We might have health issues. We might have financial issues. All of this is part and parcel of this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a state of difficulty. Now towards the end of our life, what happens? سَكَرَاتُ الْمَوْتِ And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this moment, although he was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the Prophet of Allah, and he takes a vessel of water and he wipes it over his forehead. And he says, أَلَا إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتِ Indeed in the stupors of death, indeed in death is a type of stupor and pain. All of us will face this without exception. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us. When we pass this stage, there's a squeezing of the grave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that every person will be squeezed, and if there was anyone to be saved from the squeezing, it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu an, the one for whom the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook. If he was squeezed, what about us? Then we have the resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ The skies will be split asunder. Then we find the planets, they will fall apart. You will find that a person would be, everything would explode as well, the oceans would explode, and everyone would come out of their grave in this type of horror. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this saying, they as مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً 50,000 years long. مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً This alone should make us think. He says about it, يَوْمَنْ عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا A day in which a person would be frowning. A person would be frowning, a person would be in a state of this extreme distress. You go through all of this. You go through all of this. Then at a certain point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the disbeliever. These individuals would be sent in groups to Jahannam. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا And their issue is concluded. Once this happens, now there are three groups of people left. There are three groups of people left. Number one, you have the sinful Muslim. Number two, you have the righteous Muslim. And number three, you have the munafiqun. These three people will be asked to cross a sirat, which in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْقِ أَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْفِ وَأَدَقُّ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ It is one that is sharper than a blade and thinner than a hair. And people would go at varying speeds across the sirat, some like a blink of an eye, some like a fast horse. Other people would be crawling. Other people like the munafiqun, they would fall in. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ And the sinful Muslim would also fall in because they will have to have some purification of their ill deeds before they're eventually allowed entry into Jannah. The righteous Muslim through all of this, through that 50,000 years and all of this pain, they would be at Al-Qantara. Now when they are at this stage, they can see their place in Jannah, and the hadith it mentions, they know their place in Jannah better than they knew their home in the dunya. What happens to us? We have a long day from work. Then at the end of the day, we have the intention to go shopping. And we find ourselves on autopilot, we're at home. Why does this happen? Because our homes are so engraved in us. This hadith mentions when you're at Al-Qantara, you will know your place in Jannah better than you knew your home in the dunya. You can see it right there in front of you. But you cannot enter until what happens. This hadith, إِذَا خَلَصَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ You're done from the issue of hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you're going to be at this place called Al-Qantara. You're going to be at this second bridge. فَيَتَقَاسُونَ مَظَالِمَ كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا You need to alleviate this issue you had with this other brother. Either you resolve it in this life, or you're going to be stuck there. And you have to deal with this person. Sometimes you want to avoid them. I don't want to see them again. And you just avoid them. You don't make eye contact. They die, you die. But your entryway into Jannah is contingent upon this. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran about the perfection of Jannah? He says that وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانٍ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He will do in Jannah is He will snatch away any animosity, any hatred that you had between yourself and another brother. And this is from the perfection of Jannah. You will be reclining on couches towards each other. This is from the perfection of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jannah is pure. He will not allow anyone to enter Jannah until you have a pure and a clean heart. You can either do it here, or you can trade the castles that you see there. You built for yourself a house, you built for yourself a house in Jannah by building a masjid, or by any other means, reciting Qul Huwallahu Ahad 10 times. You see all of these, you can tell this person, forgive me, I'll give you that. That will be the type of trading, but you cannot enter until this issue is resolved, and this goes to show the importance of this. Also, we all want Jannah in this dunya. We all want a nice house with a nice lake behind it, with a huge mansion. We all want this Jannat in Tajri min tahtiha al-anhar in this dunya. We can also build for ourselves a house in this dunya, or a Jannah for us in this dunya, through our thoughts. When you have a grudge against someone else, this ghil, this hatred, this grudge doesn't hurt them. This person is living rent-free in your head. It hurts you before it hurts them. And the happiest people are the ones that let go of grudges. Let's build for ourselves a house in Jannah in this particular way. So this is the importance of how we need to understand this point that we need to have and resolve these issues before allowed entry into Jannah. In the last part of this khutbah, in the second part of the khutbah, let us discuss some ways that we can achieve this. Some practical steps by which we can achieve and become people that don't have hatred. Number one, and in fact, how do we resolve conflicts? What are some methodologies to resolve conflicts? First, let us discuss what should you do to not be one who instigates conflict. And we'll mention three reasons, or three things we can do. And number two, if conflict is instigated against you, what are the steps you can take to ensure it does not go out of control? We'll start with the first one. How do you become a person that does not instigate conflict? The first step is to think about this. Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, one of the scholars of Islam, he says in one narration something for us to think about. And ask yourself as a thought experiment first. Is it possible for a person to backbite without saying anything? Is it possible for you to backbite without saying anything? Al-Ghazali, he mentions, he says, سُوءُ الظَّنْ غِيبَةُ الْقَلْبِ. Thinking negatively of somebody else is backbiting of the heart. All of our conflicts is started in our mind. We're driving somewhere, and that conversation or that argument we had from someone, it comes into our mind, and we start thinking, we start ruminating, and then this turns into what? Watch our thoughts, because our thoughts will become our words. Watch your words, because your words will become your actions. Watch your actions, because your actions will become your habits. Watch your habits, because your habits will become your character. And watch your character, because your character will eventually become your destiny. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in many ahadith, this thought or the idea of watching, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy will not hold you to task until you actually say something. But every single haram started from a thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He say in the Quran? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan. O you who believe, abstain from much suspicion. Inna ba'da dhanni ithm. Some of these are sin and they will turn to sin. You are in your car, you have these thoughts. When this happens, what should you do? وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ as soon as you can. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he mentions in one narration, he says that it's not permissible for you to interpret the words of your brother in a negative way. Sometimes you see somebody and automatically you don't like them, you don't even have a reason for doing so. It could be that you send someone a message on WhatsApp, let's say for example, and you get two blue ticks, so you know that they saw your message. Then you start to make all types of accusations. This person is lazy, he doesn't want to respond, what's wrong with him? اجتنبوا كثير من الظن. Make an excuse for this person as best as you're able to do so. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam, he mentions that towards the end of his life, while he was sick, one of his students, Al-Rabi' al-Sulaiman, he came and he visited him. And he said to Al-Shafi'i, he said, قَوُّ اللَّهُ ضَعْفَكَ, while Al-Shafi'i is sick. May Allah strengthen your weakness. Now, he had a slip of the tongue, and what he meant by this was, may Allah strengthen you against your weakness. Sometimes you have a slip of the tongue, sometimes the words that we can say or can be interpreted in one of two ways. Al-Shafi'i, he responds by saying, if Allah strengthens my weakness, I'm going to die. So Rabi' al-Sulaiman, he says that, wallahi, I only intended good by this. And sometimes we say this to somebody else and they insist on our initial statement, their version and interpretation of what we said, or we do the same, our version of how we understood it. Give the person some slack, and if they defend themselves, allow it. Say, no problem. Al-Shafi'i said, even if that is what you intended, I would have only taken the positive interpretation. That's the first step. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Number two, be one that always says that which is good. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, He says that, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ ahsan. Say that which is the best. Sometimes the tone that you use is more important than what you said. How you say something is more important than what you said. Every single Jumu'ah, what do we say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Be one that says something sadida, bighayri inhiraf wala iwaj. Something clear cut to the point, something which if you do it, yuslih lakum a'malakum. All of the affairs in your life and your relationship are going to be fixed if you do this one thing about only saying that which is good, or as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man samata najah. The one that is quiet is saved. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. The one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, say that which is good or remain silent. Number three, the third step of what you should do is that if you are a person that said something wrong, then there's a step that you need to take. Once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "Allimni wa awjiz." He said, "Teach me something, but make it short and concise." And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La takallam bi kalamin ta'tadhiru min." Don't say something you're going to have to apologize for later. Because what happens is if you say something, you said something wrong, or you said something and you need to apologize or retract it later on, now you need to deal with your ego. As human beings, we don't like to apologize. It's something really hard for us. But if you find yourself in this situation, actually go ahead and apologize. It's not easy, especially for men, to say you're wrong when you know you're wrong. You can't say it because of your ego. And if you said something and you have to retract, it's going to be hard for you. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us in one hadith? Three things which seem to be a contradiction, but in actuality they are not. Number one, ما نقص مال من صدقة. When you give charity, your money will not decrease. It seems it might, but in actuality it won't. Number two, وَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَ. The one who humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You apologize, Allah is going to raise you in the eyes of people, and more importantly in His eyes as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Finally, let us discuss what we should do if conflict is now instigated against us. It was not our fault, the person was wrong. The first step is to be one that is forgiving. As we hear in the last part of this hadith of the third thing, is وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not increase a person, one who forgives, one who overlooks. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes about a person who gets a jannah, whose width is out of the heavens and the earth, is who? A person who overlooks the faults of others. When you have this quality of overlooking, then you find that what's going to happen? You think that if you overlook and you accept somebody else's apology, I'll never accept his apology. He doesn't deserve me to accept his apology. You think by having the situation, your ego's up here. And you don't want your ego to get lowered. You feel as though it's going to decrease you in some way, so you can't do it. But in actuality, what happens? When you accept the apologies of others, when you overlook the faults of others, when you don't insist on getting every single part of your right, what happens is that your honor increases in this dunya, and more importantly, in the akhirah as well. That is the first step. The second step, if a person finds themselves and another person is instigating conflict against you, the next step is don't become defensive. When you find relationship coaches from a secular non-Muslim standpoint, they talk about the four horsemen in a relationship. These four things will destroy your relationship. What are they? Or one of them is don't get defensive. Now this is important in a number of ahadith. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ahadith, he talks about the best words we can say. The adhkar, the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. But in one narration, he talks about what he hates. إِنَّ أَبْغَضُ الْكَلَامَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَقُولُ الرَّجُلِ لِرَجُلِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فَيَقُولَ عَلَيْكَ نَفْسَكَ. When you tell your brother, fear Allah, what does he say back? No, you fear Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hates this. Take the advice, be humble, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. In fact, if you say this in reverse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates this, but our ego, we like to argue. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. We have this quality, we love to argue, unfortunately. Also, we find in one narration, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was once with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And while he's in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man, he is cursing him, he is reviling him, he is saying all sorts of things to him. And he is sitting down, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he says nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he starts to smile. Then eventually Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, being a human being, the best of human beings after the Prophet, yet nonetheless he was a human being. He couldn't take it anymore and he had to say something back. When this happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up and he left. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, being deprived of the company of his best friend, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, why did you leave? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, while you were quiet, shaytan was defending you. Or while you were quiet, not shaytan, while you were quiet, the angels were defending you. And the moment you said something, وَقَعَ الشَّيْطَانُ وَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأَقْعُدَ مَعَ الشَّيْطَانِ. When you started to say something back, shaitan came, and I do not sit with shaitan. As for the reward of this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءُ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا. I will be a guarantor. I will guarantee a person a house in Jannah for whom? That person who leaves argumentation even though you're right. We want to have the last say. We know we're right. Leave the argument. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll get a house in Jannah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guaranteeing for you. Don't be one that gets defensive. And finally, the last point is don't escalate and repel with what is better. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? He says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and evil are not the same. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Repel with that which is better. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. When you do this and there's an issue between yourself and another brother, then you're going to find yourself to be friends at the end of it. We all know a situation in which we had an argument with someone. The next time we're in a room with that person, we can't make eye contact. He's there, we're here, we can't look at each other. What happens? Some time passes, one person, he says, Assalamu alaikum. You say, Wa alaikum assalam. Then next time, Assalamu alaikum, some small talk, how's your family, how's your day? Other person, same situation. We go back and forth. What happens? You became friends. Because one person, he repelled with that which is better. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say at the end of this? He says, Wa ma yulaqqaha illa alladhina sabaru. You can't do this unless you have patience. Wa ma yulaqqaha illa dhu hadhin azim. The one who does this has a great he has a great fortune from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mufassirun, they say this fortune is a number of things. One of them is happiness in this dunya and the akhirah, if you have this quality within you. And dhu hadhin azim, according to mufassirun, some of them they say this is jannah. This quality of being one that repels with what is better, one of the qualities is one of the, what you get out of this is Jannah. And another final point related to this as well, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Al-mustabban ma qala ala al-badi ma lam ya'tad al-madhlum. That when two people revile each other, the sin is upon the one who started, as long as the other person doesn't escalate. So for example, you said something rude to someone, now they decided to curse you, the other person curses your mother, the other person punches him, the other person slashes his tires. The one that escalates, the sin is on that person. Leave the sin for the other person and take your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an ummah, we need unity. This unity starts from our brothers and our sisters who are within our own inner circles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran something that we need to remember of where our anger should be directed to these dictators, to these people that are committing genocide, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those that are with him. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Muhammadun Rasulullah. The Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. These oppressors and tyrants, our animosity and hatred should be towards them that fight us on account of our religion, fight and kick us out of our homes and do this to our brothers. But among ourselves, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Where is this compassion? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that has this compassion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that this ghil, this hatred is removed from our hearts in its entirety, so that we can enter into Jannah without being stuck at al-qantara for a long period of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who can lower our egos for the sake of Him and for the sake of our akhirah and our dunya. أَقُولُ قُولِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ ذِي مُلِكُمْ رِسَى الْمُسْلِمُ وَمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وسكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضلا وشرفا لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم انصر المسلمين المجاهدين في غزة. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين المسلمين. اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز. اللهم إنا نسألك فتحا مبينا. اللهم إنا نسألك نصرا قريبا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعيم زدكم. لذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم